Well, joining me now from Washington is Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill, who's up to her neck these days in the budget, sexual harassment in the military, and a whole bunch more. Senator, nice to have you. Good morning. Thanks for taking time.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be with you.
Well, I see I wasn't invited to your holiday book club party again. What happened there, Senator?
It's tonight.
Is it tonight?
It's tonight. In fact, I was up really early this morning because my colleagues, who have been doing this now for a number of years.
And these are your fellow senators from 2006 who were elected that year, right?
Yes, it's all my classmates that were elected in 2006. And one year I made the mistake of making two kinds of chili, both white chili and traditional chili. And now these demanding preening politicians want two kinds of chili every time they come. So I was up early this morning chopping habaneros and doing things of that nature, and I've got two pots of chili simmering at my house so that they'll be ready when they get over there tonight. And we drink some beer and eat chili and exchange books.
And this is for senators only, so people like talk show hosts can't come to your book club meeting, right?
No, you're not invited.
to be honest.
You are absolutely not invited. It is just us, and every once in a while some of the spouses are in town, and they're welcome to come, but it's really a chance for us to in a purely social setting, talk about good books we've read and compare notes on books and hopefully tell a few jokes and realize that we do better work when we all are friendly with each other.
Now, the great historian Doris Kearns Goodwin has a tweet up this morning that I just happened to come across that talked about something in connection with your group. She signed some books, or I don't know if she's coming tonight or what's that all about? She was just here on the show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, she, every year, the way we do this book party, which is a fun idea for any of your listeners. I know you've got a lot of listeners who love to read books. Everyone brings a book, the favorite book they've read all year, the one that is most memorable that they want to share with people they care about. And you have to wrap it and not label it. And then we put all those in a basket and everyone draws one out. And then you've got to guess whose book it was, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then additionally, every year, I give as a party favor a book that I think is a notable book of the year. And I go to the trouble of buying enough books for my colleagues, the 10 of us, now 9 of us, and ask the author to personally inscribe each one. And this year I bought Doris Kearns Goodwin's book on Teddy Roosevelt, Bully Pulpit.
A great pick.
And she has personally inscribed all those books, and my classmates will be getting those as a parting gift when they leave tonight.
Well, she is a national treasure, and that's a great pick, a choice of a book there, Senator. Well, let's turn to a couple of issues that I know you've been scrambling about over the last few weeks. The bipartisan budget deal is now in the Senate. When's the vote going to be, and how do you see yourself coming down on this one?
Well, the budget, we passed cloture this morning with 67 votes, so we had 7 votes to spare to get past the procedural hurdle that most pieces of legislation require in the Senate, and the final vote will be tomorrow. I support this. I have been preaching compromise until I'm blue in the face, and that's what this is. This is hearkening back to the days where the House had a number and the Senate had a number, and we compromised somewhere in the middle. And that's what we did here. We still reduced the deficit by $23 billion. We still are doing what we need to do in terms of getting on a glide path to less federal spending. But we have cut our deficit in half this year, and the sequestration was having unintended consequences, both in terms of our economy and also in terms of actually costing us money in some instances where you had to make the cuts across the board as opposed to strategic cuts. That made more sense. So I do think this is really some meaningful progress in what has been very frustrating gridlock out here for a long time.
I was going to say, this puts off a government shutdown for 2 years. Do I have that right?
It actually puts down a government shutdown for 2 years because it creates a top-line budget number for 2 years, which also allows us to get back into regular order on appropriations. It used to be every year each subcommittee of appropriations would have a number from the budget, and then they would appropriate to that number or close to it. Sometimes they wouldn't follow the budget because the budget doesn't have a force of law. The budget is an advisory document only, but it traditionally was followed pretty carefully or closely. And so now we know what those numbers will be, and hopefully the appropriators can do their work the way the committees were intended to.
Claire, why are we moving? Explain this to me. Why are we suddenly moving from this era when shutdowns were, it seemed like, always a possibility, always around the next corner, to a time when now there's no possibility of a shutdown for 2 years, assuming this budget passes tomorrow when it comes back up in the Senate?
Well, we still have to do the, once we pass the budget, it does alleviate the shutdown, assuming that the appropriations or the continuing resolutions based on that numbers occurs. We need some kind of omnibus. The budget doesn't spend any money. So we still have to do the appropriations part of this, but it does, greatly lessen the chance of a shutdown because we've agreed on a number, both the House and the Senate. And the reason that occurred is politics. The Republicans in the House forced a shutdown of the government, and they paid a political price for it.
A big one.
I think
that
a lot of the seasoned veterans of Washington, D.C. Said, wait, why are we shooting ourselves in the foot? I think they think that they are much better off fighting the political wars on the front of health care than they are justifying shutting down the government. And so I think they made a decision after that didn't go so well, that the majority of the Republicans were going to stare down the Tea Party faction and say, we're not going to shut down the government again. We're going to compromise and try to move forward.
Does this signal a new era of bipartisanship, or am I hoping for a little too much here in this holiday season?
Well, I'm with you. I it is a holiday season, and I want to be hopeful, and I am proud of being an optimist. And I believe this is real progress. I think if you really pull back the curtain and look what happened in the House, the Speaker of the House and Paul Ryan basically stared down the Tea Party and said, we're not going there. Do what you want. We're not going there. And they really exerted strong leadership. And that's what's really been lacking. I mean, everyone's been walking around cowering. The Republican leadership have been cowering about the Tea Party, as opposed to trying to find pragmatic ways to make government function with a divided government. We have a split government. The people have sent the Democrats to run the Senate and the Republicans to run the House, and it just doesn't work unless people are willing to come to the middle.
We're visiting with Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill. Let's turn to the Affordable Care Act, Senator. I'm wondering, knowing what you do now, if you'd vote for that law again?
That's a hard question. I probably would change some things, obviously. We've already tried to change a few things. And I think we'd like to fix other things. You know, the problem is that we can't really fix them because the Republicans want it to fail.
So if you reopen the bill, everyone's going to pile in, try to mess it up even more than it is?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think what would happen is they just wouldn't go along with the fixes. They would say, they don't want it to be fixed. They want it to fail. Now, the irony of that is I think they'd have a mess because then everyone would be reminded why we went down this road in the first place. People have forgotten what the problem was, and that was that we had a huge swath of Americans that couldn't get insurance. The insurance companies were dictating the rules of the road, and we were really at their mercy in terms of what they would cover and not cover. People were going bankrupt when they had serious diseases because they were capping the amount that they would pay in their lifetimes. People were frozen into their current insurance, whether they liked it or not, because of pre-existing conditions. And most importantly, people were going to the emergency room that didn't have insurance, and that those costs were being passed on to everyone who had insurance. So insurance costs were going up so much that every year more and more businesses were dropping coverage for their employees. So we're trying to prevent the underinsured and the uninsured from getting free care at the emergency room, quote-unquote free care, that we all pay for. And I think if we went back to the old system, the Republicans would be in some political trouble. And I have yet to hear them come up with any strategy or plan that would be significantly different than what we have passed in terms of the fundamentals that would actually address that concern.
Yeah. Senator, these days, what are Missourians saying to you now about the ease of signing up for Obamacare, you know, today compared to maybe a month ago? Are they seeing the kind of progress that we're hearing about, or what kind of feedback are you getting in your offices in Washington?
Well, we are getting, I mean, a lot of what everyone is getting is anecdotal. And I think that, frankly, I've gotten so much positive anecdotal. There's been some negative anecdotal, but the Republicans just talk about the anecdotal things they hear that are negative, and I'm not sure that on our side we've talked as much about the positives. I do think the website is much better. In fact, I was doing some window shopping. I'm going to go on the exchange and buy my insurance. In fact, I'm probably going to do it tomorrow or the next day. We're going to film it, and then we're going to put it up so people can see that it is like going on an Expedia or a Kayak and comparing a lot of different private plans and deciding what you want to pay per month and what you want to pay deductible and what you want to pay copay and how you manage those costs and with the variety of different choices that are there. I think I have 25 different plans for me to choose from, and I'm foregoing my employer contribution. And just doing it like a lot of small business employees have to do. They have to go on there, and I don't qualify for any help in terms of tax credits like many Missourians will. So I think it's much better. When I tried to go on at the beginning, I was very frustrated. I went on today, and it, you know, just window shopping. I didn't sign up yet, but it was unbelievably better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fast and asked more information. I think I got more specifics about what my premium would be because it allowed me to enter in my exact age instead of a range of ages.
Yeah.
So they've really clearly worked hard, and it's much better. And I certainly recommend people going on there and giving it a try. I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised.
You know, Senator, I know you have to go in just a few minutes, but help me here. Why was the rollout botched as badly as it was? I've read different accounts now, but what's your understanding of how on earth did this happen to begin with?
I think that it goes under that category of let's make sure we give them all the good news and not the worst case scenarios. There was a lot of pressure put on people to do things quickly. The money was frozen out. There wasn't a significant amount of help or resources that could be added to it because the Republicans were not about to fund any additional help. So, I think it was. The people at the top were being given platitudes that everything looked fine. The people that actually knew everything didn't look fine were in a panic and weren't probably as forthcoming as they should have been, that the glitches had not been worked out. But I think that if you go back and look, I try to make myself feel better by going back and reading clippings from when Medicare D rolled out, when Medicare rolled out, when Social Security rolled out.
Yeah.
And it was a mess.
Yeah.
All of those were a mess.
You know,
and so I maybe I'm just looking for a way to make myself feel better that the first few months of this were as bad as they were. But I do think we've turned the corner, and I do think as more and more people realize that these are private insurance plans where you can pool risk at an affordable cost and with lots of choices. It's not a government plan. I think people, Americans are great shoppers. Missourians are great shoppers. I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised if they give it a chance.
Claire, just a final thing. You're chairwoman of the Senate Commerce Subcommittee on Consumer Protection, and you've begun to look at robocalls, and you want to crack down on them. You accuse the phone companies of not doing enough to do just that. What do you want to see happen here?
Well, I think they're dragging their feet. I think they realize that we haven't made it their responsibility. And they're hiding behind the notion that they want to make sure they connect every call. There's technology that is being developed. In fact, it's being used in Canada now. We found this in a hearing where there's all kinds of ways that they can make robocalls go to a voicemail. And then you can decide and take steps by pressing numbers whether you want that number to be able to get through again. And it effectively allows the technology to shut it out at the recipient's location. The problem with these illegal robocalls, if we try to get them at the source, you know, they just move IP addresses.
Yeah, yeah.
These computers now can make millions of calls in just a few minutes. So by the time you find an IP address that is making these calls illegally, they've already moved. And, you know, they're like ghosts.
Yeah.
And so the enforcement side in a traditional way is really impractical. That's why people are so frustrated that these illegal robocalls are still occurring. So I'm really trying to push on the technology side to get the phone companies to adopt some of this technology so people are not bothered when they don't want to be bothered. And I'd like to see both political calls and charitable calls be included in that. I think you ought to have the right to cut off all robocalls, regardless of what kind of call they are. And we're busy working on that. And we're going to have some other interesting things come down. We're going to do some on diet scams after the first of the year when all of us are busy trying to make up for the sins we've committed with putting food in our mouth over the holidays. We're going to do a diet scam consumer product hearing.
Yeah.
And we're going to look a little bit at my subcommittee also deals with sports. We're beginning to gather some information about some of the practices of the NCAA that we may want to look at, particularly as it relates to young people being kicked off their scholarships when they're hurt and then left by the side of the road, highly recruited athletes that then have no way of getting a college education because they've received an injury and the school won't honor their scholarship because they've received an injury. I think most people find that offensive. I'd like to see if we can get that fixed, too.
Well, Senator, I know you've got to scoot in. I want to thank you for your time, and I want to wish you happy holidays. And by all means, don't feel badly that you didn't invite me to your book club tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Steve. There's many parties I would invite you to. This isn't one of them.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Senator, all the best. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Merry Christmas.
That's Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill. You can find more information about all of our broadcasts at kcur.org.